Ticket this morning. I'm going too fast, but here we go. Revelation 19. I always think kind of the perfect sermon would be just quoting scripture the entire time. This is going to be close to that, but not quoting it. So, continue on future calendar that God has laid out in His Bible, where the Bible is writes history backwards. And so, Revelation 19, if you read the back part of the Bible, you get kind of excited. So, Revelation 19:11. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this, help us to rejoice in this, help us to, if someone by chance is not born again, that they would see their need of the Lord and that they would get on the right side of this army, this program. That you'd help us to be excited about it. Help us to rightly divide your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Revelation 19:11. In this back part of the Bible, the second to the last book in the Bible, and some of the Bibles, it's got concordance back there. But Revelation is the back of the Bible. And many novels or movies, they're not real original in their scripts. They usually will copy something from the Bible. And generally, a movie will have a hero, a villain, and a woman they're fighting over. And in Revelation, the hero is Jesus Christ. He comes at the end on a white horse. And the Bible still is stereotypical. It's not influenced by political correctness. So he comes on a white horse. And then the villain is the Antichrist. And the woman that they're fighting about is Israel. That's in Revelation. Today, the woman that they're fighting about or arguing about or contentious about is the church. So you got two different events. So in Revelation 19, it says that a door was opened in heaven or heaven was opened. There's two times in this Revelation where a door in heaven is open, and in the first one is chapter 4, somebody goes up, and in chapter 19, somebody comes down. So you have the common saying, what goes up must come down. And it's strange that it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, where you would tend to think, well, I thought Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John revealed about Jesus Christ. But it did. It did. It's about the first coming, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Revelation is about the second. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is about the sacrificial Savior, Jesus Christ, demonstrating His love. Revelation is about that Savior who becomes the judge of the universe, and He is going to demonstrate His hatred, His anger. Okay, so that's what Revelation is about. For anybody, you want to get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 1, under His love. If a person doesn't, then they're going to experience revelation. So we're going to go into this Revelation 19:11. He says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. So there's going to be a bloody war, a bloodbath. And his name is called the Word of God with an uppercase W. That's found seven times. This is a seventh time. That would be the flesh and bones Word of God, Jesus Christ. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses. That army, those armies we're going to kind of look at, figure out where that, who that is. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Okay, we'll find that a little earlier in the chapter. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Okay, so the second coming. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Seven words, seven uppercase words. Last time you find that in the Bible. There's 25 in all. And so this one is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to work on that this morning, a continuation of this. And here we are setting in what's called the church time period. And God hid a bunch of ideas, a bunch of doctrines for 4,000 years. He revealed them to a guy named Paul. And so you have the church, you've got the judgment seat of Christ, you get the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, you've got the completeness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They didn't know any of that in the Old Testament. That's all New Testament. In the Old Testament, they did a Sabbath thing on a Saturday, a several annual Sabbath in the New Testament. Every day is holy for the born-again believer. And when a person believes in Jesus Christ, they're placed in this invisible body of Christ, and they become one in Christ. Okay, and then what the Lord's going to do at the end of the church age, because the church time period is falling apart, that's entropy, everything's getting worse, the church is a mess, okay? And generally speaking, you'll find that if you just travel around, how very, very few pastors even believe any book in their hands is the Word of God. And the ones that do believe it, many of them don't even interpret it right or rightly divide it correctly. And so what the Lord's going to do is he's going to fix it. He's going to pull the church out in a pre-tribulation rapture, big explosion. And then if it happened like today, there's going to be a bunch of clothes and a bunch of blood. And the ones that will be here who are not saved will go out of their mind. Wouldn't that be a shocking thing? They were here. They were here. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? And then the world will have some creature come, and land in, either in Vatican City or someplace. And then the United Nations a few years ago designated a woman to be the chief spokes thing, person. If we have creatures from outer space. Did we know that? Did you know that the United Nations do have a woman? She's going to be the chief spokesman for the world. And so I guess maybe she's going to show up. Who knows? And then they're going to get on the telly and all the cell phones. And they say that those people that were missing were pulled out for re-education. They just don't fit in this new world age. So they got to be re-educated. And then we'll let them back. Of course, they're lying. We will be getting a re-education, that's for certain, and we will be coming back, but in a little different mode, and so that's how they'll explain it. And then the world, the new agey government, religion is going to take place, and the entire world is going to turn against Israel, and the church will be at the judgment seat of Christ, where we're getting judged, and at the end of that, then the church as a body will be ready to celebrate a wedding feast. Okay, now I read Revelation 19:11. If you go backwards and read verse 7. Now, our wedding customs might be a little bit different than the Jewish ones. You know, we usually have a boring ceremony and then have the food. That's what we're really more interested. The Jews, they just skip that ceremony part. They go right into the food. And the reason why they have a wedding feast is that in case she doesn't know how to cook, it's his last good meal that he's going to have for a while. And so he can gorge himself. And so, but the Jews have a wedding feast. In that feast time, they will have some sort of a ceremony and agreements back and forth. Revelation 19:7. So you'll see that this precedes him coming back. And he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Okay, she's gone through the judgment seat. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Okay, if you remember back over there in 19, verse 14, that is the army. That's the army that's clothed, clean and white. Okay, and it says, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Okay, so that's the church. Now, let's get this army and this bride together. You would think that if you're going to go into battle, that you would have, you know, a sword and all these other things. This is the strangest army in the world, where they're coming in white robes. You would think they're going to get stained. Yeah, that's right. They're going to get stained. Okay, but more or less, the army, the church, is just following the Lord. The Lord's going to pretty much take care of everything. And then we just kind of get to mop up, as they say. Okay, and so let's get this bride and this army together in the Bible. If you would, Song of Solomon, and we'll come down through this. Song of Solomon. This is going to be more of a Bible studies we're coming through here. Song of Solomon. Who reads that these days? Don't preach much about Song of Solomon. You got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, chapter 6. Doctrinally, this is about Christ and the church. Historically, it's about Solomon and one of his many concubines. Concubines. I don't know if it's a John Deere, Massey Ferguson, or International. But one of his many wives that he had. Okay, so chapter 6, verse 9, it says, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Then he asked a question. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? So this woman, this bride, the question is, she's like an army. Wow. Okay, let's see if we can find the army of the Lord. Joel chapter 2. Minor prophets, many of these minor prophets talked about these things. Joel chapter 2. And it runs from 1 through 11. So we'll kind of get this figured out. This is the church after the wedding feast. We keep our wedding garments on. We get on a white horse. Hey, you don't have to learn how to ride. It's all instantaneous. Learn how to ride. It's going to be the smoothest ride. I rode a horse a few years ago, and after riding it, I said, I'm going back to my four-wheeler. That's for sure. Definitely going back to the Goldwing. It don't bounce as much. And it has a different form of exhaust. It's a different kind of exhaust. Joel chapter 2. Okay, as we come down here, verse 1, and it says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, so that's Jerusalem. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, so it's not going to be a good time. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Greatest doctrine of the Bible, a day of darkness and of gloominess. Day of clouds, thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them. Okay, so if you can put all these great doctrines, this greatest doctrine of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, kicks that door open in heaven as Revelation 19, and he comes straight down. Lands on Mount Sinai. He's got a white horse. He's got a chariot behind him. He comes in to Mount Sinai. He comes up the King's Highway, due north, and he's shooting flames out from that thing. Flames going this way, flames going that way. He comes up to the Valley of Armageddon, and he makes a left turn, goes east to west, right in the northern Valley of Israel, shooting flames out, and he's torching 200 million peacekeeping troops and Muslims. And the church are on white horses behind watching the show. It's going to be the greatest sound effects, the greatest special effects you're ever going to see in your life. I mean, it's like at the end of the fireworks program, they always put all the fireworks out there, and that's what the Lord's doing. Okay, so here's the army. Fire devoureth before them, behind them a flame burneth. The land is at the Garden of Eden before them. Okay, so it's going to be prosperous. And then behind them, desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. So these horses and chariots are like, you know, Santa Claus has got to fake this where he slays, skipping on the hills. No, this is Revelation. The devil always tries to counterfeit things in the Bible. And it says, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as strong people set in battle array before their face, the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. And they, that's the army, shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust upon another, they shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon a sword, they shall not be wounded, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses, and they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The Lord comes back like a thief in the night. Verse 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and moon shall be dark. You'll read that in Revelation. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. There we go, there's the army. That's the Lord's army. That's the church. Okay, we come behind the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the cartoons that kids watch and the superheroes, Iron Man, Superman, Batman, and all this stuff, and Wonder Woman, who I don't think was a woman. Okay, so even that, you got all that. They are mimicking the resurrected body of the born-again saint. Go, gadget arm. I mean, it's going to be fascinating what we're going to be able to do. So that's what they're doing. The world is trying to do this as a copy of what's going to happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So how is all this going to be? How is this stage going to be set up? Okay, how are you going to get 200 million people around Jerusalem? I mean, Jerusalem in landmass, I mean, you could say it's about the size of Lowell. Can you imagine 200 million army with their planes and with their tanks and everything? And they got to have horses too, because they're going to have a problem. Why do they bring in horses with all this, mechanized cavalry? There's a reason why. Okay, and we might discover what that is. So this is the Battle of Armageddon. Now, in the Bible, you have four viewpoints of the first coming of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. When you read through Revelation, there appears to be four viewpoints of the second coming, or what is known as the Battle of Armageddon. There's one at 6 or 11. I'm not sure which one you can go with, 6 or 11. Okay, and then for sure, there's one at 14, there's one at 16. That's where the word Armageddon is found, in 16. And then 19. So we got four in the Gospels, four in Revelation. They're each giving a little different viewpoint of this great battle of Armageddon. And how are they going to get all these people there together? Okay, if you would, let's try to figure this out. Matthew 24. In any of our lifetime, isn't it amazing, the cell phones? Isn't it amazing how, back, what was it, in the 90s, I had a car phone, and I mistakenly used it in Michigan to call my wife. Man, the bill was outrageous. Okay, and now these cell phones, now you've got so much capability with these things. And if you go to an airport, you know what you'll see in an airport? Four people sitting at a table, all four looking at their cell phones, none of them talking to each other unless they're texting each other through the cell phone. People have become so conditioned to look at that one-eyed monster. They've become conditioned to that. Okay, and in Matthew 24, Jesus Christ is explaining some things about the main idea is the tribulation. You'll see that word in verse 21. But then he states in verse 6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. How do we hear about these things? We hear of these things through the media and through the cell phone. Verse 7, it says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And then 8 says, this is just the beginning. And then he says this in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye shall see. See what? When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. How are they going to see that? How is the entire world going to see the abomination of desolation? What is the abomination of desolation? Well, during that time period, the Jewish people, when they see this miraculous individual who comes to the forefront, they think he's the Messiah. He's going to bring in the Jewish kingdom. And then about 3 years into it, he's going to demand for them to worship him. He is God manifest in the flesh. That will trigger their mind and say, oh, he's not the Messiah. He's the bad guy. We don't worship a man. And when they resist that, then he's going to have his troops there and they're going to capture those Jewish tribes, whoever they can. And a bunch of them are going to flee and run around the world. And the ones they capture, he's going to offer them up as a human sacrifice in the Jewish temple right there, either in Bethlehem and Jerusalem. They're going to broadcast it on their cell phones. People around the world are going to see this and they are going to revel in it. Today, the vast majority is condemning Hamas and what they've done in Israel in the Trib. They're going to revel in it. They're going to love it. Human sacrifice. Hey, man, that's not a new thing. That's been going on for a long time. A church pretended it this morning. About 1 billion people believe that happened in their church this morning. And then they turn around and ate the cracker. Drank his blood. The abomination of desolation will be literal in a Jewish temple. The world will revel in it. They will revel. They'll see it on their cell phone. They'll be thrilled over this. I mean, that's what the Lord is going to allow the cell phone and this electronic technology. He's going to use that to allow the Antichrist to broadcast this throughout the world. Let's try Revelation. Revelation 11:9. Revelation records there's two guys that's going to show up again, Moses and Elijah. The apostles might show up again. Jeremiah might show up again. It's going to be a real hoot during that time. There's going to be fallen angels everywhere. Okay, and I mean, it's going to be an amazing thing. And so Moses and Elijah, they're going to be like against the Antichrist, and the world's going to think they're the bad guys when the Antichrist is the bad guy. Just like Elijah and Ahab, where Ahab blamed Elijah for all the trouble. And Elijah said, no, you're the troublemaker. I'm not the troublemaker. And then he's going to present to the people, how long halt ye between two opinions? And so God is going to allow Moses and Elijah just be a thorn in the side of the Antichrist. They're going to be able to kill people by fire. They're going to shut the rain down for 3.5 years. And then at the end, the Lord's going to allow the Antichrist to murder them, behead them. This is why the Muslim faith of about 2 billion people have gone throughout the whole world, even where they don't have a Muslim presence. Like in Panama, we saw a mosque down there, didn't see a Muslim anywhere. They got to put a presence there. Why? Because in the tribulation, the mode of death will be beheading. What religion likes to practice that? So they got to get them all around the world. Go up to Dearborn, Michigan, if you want to really get excited to hear them. I mean, it's infested up there. Well, when these two guys, Moses and Elijah, are murdered and beheaded, They'll broadcast it on their cell phones. CNN's going to be happy. MSNBC, they're going to rejoice in all this stuff. Revelation 11, verse 9, it says, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." The world's going to blame those two guys. Okay, and so they're going to broadcast this. If you would, in chapter 12, the serpent will deceive the entire world. Revelation 12, verse 9. It's not hard to do this. Today, it's easier to deceive people than to convince them they have been deceived. Dare I say COVID? I mean, hey, that's just a good forerunner. And then if you go to chapter 13, verse 3, this is the Antichrist. And somebody's going to assassinate this guy. And then he's going to rise from the dead. And man, are they going to be thrilled. Verse 3. Revelation 13, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded at death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wandered after the beast." How'd they do that? The cell phones. That's how they did that. Chapter 3, verse 8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." How are they going to do that? Through that cell phone. Chapter 16, verse 14. It says, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So they're going to broadcast this. And so then here comes Iran, and here comes Egypt and Syria and Lebanon. I don't know if Russia's going to be involved. Maybe so. United States coming in. Europe, all of them coming in. All these coalition of forces. All these Muslim men. China has 200 million in their army right now. And they're coming in. And Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 21 about the same topic. Jesus Christ said this. He said in 21 verse 20, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." So the Lord's going to use all this. They're going to bring in 200 million United Nations troops, Muslims and everything. And man, they are ready to fight. Revelation chapter 9, verse 16 gives the amount there. And in the Bible, it's called 200,000. 200 million. So all this is going to take place. So, okay, if you can imagine this, 200 million around Jerusalem. They got armies, they got tanks, they got their weaponry, they got their saber, their lightsabers and all that stuff. And then the Lord knocks the electric grid out. And everything is stalled. And man, they are scrambling. Get them horses, get them horses. Now you got to bring in these horses because it shut everything down. And they can't do anything. Boy, what a trick. What a trick. You say, Lord's got that capability? Oh, come on. Our government's got that capability. I mean, did you ever read something about the Twin Towers? Did you ever read about the Twin Towers and what happened that day? Did you ever look at that? I bet you everybody is, when you heard about the Twin Towers, you know right where you were standing like I was. Why? They're playing with ours. And if you look at those towers, like Building 7 came down before any announcer in Europe was announcing it before it came down. Building 7 has fallen down. No, it was standing right behind her. She just jumped the gun. They didn't take them down with controlled demolition, even though there might have been some in there. Those buildings turned to dust. And people that were there say the only thing that was left was dust and paper. No desk, no computers, no nothing, no 20-story high of, you know, a controlled demolition, no seismographic test of something coming down, it just came down like dust. And this very intelligent lady looked at the evidence available. She doesn't say who did it. She don't have evidence of that. She just looked at the evidence. Here's what a man said. J. Jonas, a firefighter, survivor of the stairwell B. He said, there's nothing above us. That big building doesn't exist. These are the biggest office buildings in the world, and I didn't see one desk or one chair or one plane. Nothing. And see, here this is right in front of us. And then there's some other folks. After the dust cleared, they looked up and saw the sunny sky. And they said, where did buildings go? Where did those buildings? This is firsthand testimony of these people. And this dear lady has done the details of that, pictures and everything. And you can just read the evidence. But she doesn't say who did it. She doesn't accuse anybody. She just looks at the evidence. And what did the powers be do with the evidence? Destroyed it as quick as they could. That's what they did. 9/11. What happened in Maui? Strange fires happened in Maui. Strange thing. Cars levitating and turning over. And burning up, burning aluminum engines, and then there's a ring around, and there's green grass around. People in the bottom of this building could hear the cars exploding in the basement, levitating, exploding, and all that stuff. Their testimony is fascinating. 13 people down in the basement survived. After it's all done, looked up, where'd the building go? What is that? That's called directed energy weapon. Our military's got this capability. They've used this time and time again. The Lord's got the same thing. The Lord's capability is far better. Can you imagine that? 200 million got all their weaponry. I mean, they've got everything set up as pretty as could be, and the Lord turns the electric off. It's kind of like the microwave effect. You know how a microwave works? It's kind of like that. It's kind of like our cell phone where we put it on our ear. We're microwaving our head. That's why it's best to keep it here and talk through this way. And even it says it in a fine print of your phone. It says it in there. And so they're microwaving people. This is why the horses have to come in. Because they lost all capability electronically of the planes and the tanks and everything. And the Lord shut it down. And here comes the Lord. Coming in there, a white horse shooting flames out there, torching them here, torching them there. And the eagles are over there waiting for their, meal. And they're over there, medium well, please. I like medium well. I like it raw, And so the Lord gets this one and he gets that. And the blood's coming up to the horse's bridle. Horses are coming in. Blood's coming in there. Jesus Christ is going through. Blood's all over everything. Blood's all over your clothes, my clothes, as we're marching through there. The Lord has been pretty quiet for a long time, and his anger has reached a point. And the Lord is going to get the glory. Let's try a couple places. Let's try Habakkuk. These prophets in the Old Testament wrote about it, and I'll bet you when they're writing about it, they said, what is this? One psalm says that David, in Psalm 66, he wrote about somebody riding over their heads in the clouds. David's probably, what is that? Well, when we fly in an airplane, what are we doing? We're riding over somebody's heads in the clouds. I mean, it's just a fascinating thing. The Bible predicts these things. Okay, in Habakkuk, that's right, you got to go backwards here, about the fifth from the back of the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 3. This is one of the few times where the word Selah is found outside of Psalms. Habakkuk chapter 3, in verse 2, it says, God came from Teman. I heard some guy say that's some planet in outer space. Teman is where Jesus Christ comes down on Mount Sinai, comes up the King's Highway. He goes through Teman. He goes through the land of Uz. He goes through Edom. He goes through Petra. That's where that's from. And the Holy One from Mount Paran, another name for Mount Sinai. That's why he comes down there. Verse 3, there you got the word Selah. Selah is a doctrinal term for the second coming. Then he says, his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. Man, oh man, the Lord. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. The everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. If you drop down to verse 11, you'll see similarities in Revelation. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear, thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Okay, this time of year you see combines out in the field. You know, corn picker. That's a threshing machine. Okay, and what that, like the corn picker, you got, depending on the farm, you got the rows of corn every 30 inches apart. And in that 12 row head, it's got, it grabs that stalk, pulls that down and pops that ear off, and then it goes into the combine. What comes out the back of that combine is chaff. The ungodly are like to chaff which a wind driveth away. It's a beautiful picture of the second coming of Christ. Just an amazing thing. And that's what the Lord's going to do. And then he's going to, in Revelation 14, 20, it mentions the horses. This valley is about 175 miles long. I'm not sure how wide, maybe 40, 50 miles wide. And as the Lord is mashing and killing, the blood's going to be coming everywhere. Blood of men, blood of the creatures, you know, from hell that shows up. The blood of horses. Revelation 14, 20, it says, a winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's a Jewish measurement, so it's about 175 miles. Fascinating. The Lord's going to do this. The whole world's going to see this. The ones that are outside of this location. How do we know that? Two places, Matthew 24, verse 30. How are they going to see it if the electrical grid is down? Well, we just might have to consider the cosmos. Might have to consider something else. Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun be darkened. Shall the sun be darkened? The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes, okay, tribes, Jewish, not to church, all the tribes, they're listening to Revelation 7. The Bible is a masterful book if you put the pieces together. It's confusing if you don't get it. Tribes of the earth mourn, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They'll see it. How do people down under see it? Unless they're not down under, maybe they're over yonder. They're going to see it. And then Revelation 1, verse 7. I know today we're limited by sight at a certain distance, but the Lord's going to let them see it. He's going to open up something, maybe some screen down in the prisons, and they're going to see it. Revelation 1, 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so come, amen. Believers are going to rejoice. People say, rejoice over all this. It would be no different that after World War II, people were excited to hear about the death of Adolf Hitler. If he died. But even at that. But at least they were excited about it. Okay? We're going to be thrilled when the Vatican City is blown off the map. We're going to be thrilled when the Lord comes back and we're watching it. I mean, the Lord finally gets the glory that's due Him. Jesus Christ is worthy. He is worthy of a person to receive His sacrifice. But if they reject that sacrifice, He is worthy. He is worthy to destroy in Revelation. I don't know. Man, it's getting close. Looking forward to that day. Make sure a person is ready and know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You want to get in the right army, that's for sure. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that You'd help us to rejoice in that fact. And Lord, the sooner the better. Sooner the better. Lord, thank You for these great promises of the Bible. Thank You that the power that You have is fascinating. And I just pray You'd help us to be good students of this book. Help us to rejoice in that. Help us to realize what's going on down here. Okay, what's going on in Israel right now? Okay, just a little warm up. I just pray You'd help us to pray for that day. And if by chance someone here is not born again, that they'd see their need. Please, I pray they'd see the sacrificial Savior in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and believe in Him. And then they'll get to be on the right side and be on a winning team. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.